Amen. Well, this morning we are kind of continuing in a series that we've called Next Steps, but we are kind of bridging into a different theme in this series, okay? So we've been talking about next steps for a while. If you want a Bible, pop your hand in the air, someone will bring one to you. And we've been talking about personal disciplines of a disciple. And what we want to move on to talk about for the next 5 or 6 weeks together is what it looks like to be disciples together. We cannot do this on our own. We need each other if we are to grow to be like Jesus. You cannot be a Christian in isolation. You need to be part, an active and intentional part of God's community. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to be disciples together. And to bridge over to that this morning, I want to encourage you and show you that the freedom that has been won for you in Christ, that freedom brings with it a level of responsibility. Now that seems odd, doesn't it? Because it's not often how we think of freedom. Have you ever been coming up to a holiday and all you want to do is get to the end of work on that final day, and you close the door, and you get in your car, and you drive away from work, and you think, oh, I'm free. Or you're going away for a holiday, and you get your phone out, and you put it on silent, and you turn off your emails, and you put it in your pocket, and you drive down, you get to your holiday house or your hotel, and you go, oh, freedom. Because that's often how we think of freedom. As a lack of responsibility, as putting aside our responsibilities for a little while. And of course, that's okay, that's something we all need, but when we take that idea of freedom into our Christian faith, when we think that, oh, if Christianity is about being free, then it's about a lack of responsibility, then we can get into trouble. In the book of Galatians, it's all about freedom. Paul is speaking to a group of Christians who are struggling with this seeming contradiction between law and grace. And so Paul says to them, it is for freedom that you have been set free. But then, as he closes the book, which is where we're going to be this morning in Galatians chapter 6, as Paul closes the book, he wants to make it clear that this freedom brings with it some responsibility. Let's read together, Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Let's stop there. So freedom, when it comes to faith, does not look like a laying down of responsibility. I don't have anything to do, anything to carry. But a picking up of a godly responsibility. A picking up of a new way of living. The author and pastor Phil Moore puts it like this in one of his straight-to-the-heart commentaries. He says, freedom is a verb. Freedom is in every way an action word. God has freed us on the inside through his Holy Spirit so that we can love and serve one another. This means taking daily risks to follow Jesus, and it can be a little scary. For the purposes of this series, let me change that quote a little. This means we must take daily next steps to follow Jesus. We've been looking at this over the last few weeks, and we have admitted together that this can seem like a bit of a contradiction. That we are for freedom set free, but that freedom comes with responsibilities. By grace we are set free. Nothing we have done can save us, but in response to all that he has done, we do things. Grace fuels our works, not the other way around. Being set free on the inside leads to a life of service to Christ and his people as our spiritual act of worship, as Chris so brilliantly reminded us last week. This week, I want to delve in to what could seem like a contradiction in the passage that we have just read today. But it is something that we need to discover is not a contradiction, but a higher call, a greater challenge to the believer. Because freedom does not only bring with it a responsibility to grow in our own faith, but a responsibility to help others grow in theirs. Freedom is an action word. We must be actively committed to working out our own faith and also supporting the faith of those around us. The bit that might make us go, that sounds like a bit of a contradiction there, Paul, in the passage we just read, is found in these passages about carrying weight, in verse 2 and verse 5. In verse 2, Paul says, you should bear one another's burdens. In verse 5, Paul says, every man should bear his own load. So, Paul, how do we bear somebody else's burden when they are supposed to be bearing it on their own? Well, the key to understanding this passage is in the words that are used. In the English, we see that we bear one another's burdens and we bear our own load. In the original language, that word for burden is different from the one for load. That word burden means an overbearing weight. It's overwhelming. It's too heavy to carry. That word load means a kind of cargo or a pack. And though it's heavy, it can fit on somebody's back and it can be carried by one person. So these are not two contradicting responsibilities, but two responsibilities that we must take seriously. Christian discipleship, becoming like Jesus, carries with it this dual responsibility. Bearing our own load, our own pack, we are responsible ourselves. We cannot excuse ourselves from what we are supposed to do in growing to be like Jesus. And also, we are called to look around us at our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, what can I carry for them? Where can I lighten their burdens? Where are they overwhelmed? So today is a bit of a bridging sermon, because for the last 5 weeks, we've looked at carrying your own load. And today, we will look at what it means to bear one another's burdens, to be disciples together, to see how you can be helped and help within the fellowship of Christ. And what I want to say to you today is you must be committed to both of these, to your load and to others' burdens, because both are scriptural mandates. Let's begin with bearing your own load. Christ's victory in your life calls you to change your life. Now, hear me right, I've already said it, not in order to receive salvation. God's not waiting for you to change before he loves you. He loves you. He saved you. If you've given your life to him, you are a son, a daughter. But as a result of that, if the Holy Spirit is working in your life, then you should be saying, I have a load to bear. I want to become like Jesus. I want to change the way that I live. I've got freedom, but that freedom is a verb to me. It's an action word. I'm going to live differently as a result of what's been done to me. That load is bearable, but not insignificant. Jesus says, take up your cross. He's saying to be a Christian will not be the easiest thing in the world. Often we are too quick to call something that is a load a burden. We are too quick to say, I couldn't possibly live like that. All this stuff that Jesus says I have to do, I can't do it on my own. I need other people. We're too quick to excuse ourselves, to say, oh, I wasn't helped enough. I wasn't given enough advice. I wasn't come alongside enough. I didn't have enough support. Of course, all those things are important, and we'll get onto that in the bulk of this morning's message. But we must realize that Our load to bear is our personal responsibility to get up each day and say, I want to look more like Jesus. Because if we're not doing that, we're not bearing the responsibility that freedom has won for us. If we're relying on others to make us look more like Jesus, then we're not bearing the load of responsibility that the gospel has brought to us. Because if you wake each day and you say, okay, I'm supposed to look more like Jesus by the time I go to bed tonight. I'm supposed to have shown Jesus to the people I meet today. If you wake and do that, then you're putting your pack on, and what you're going to realize is that it is heavy. You're going to realize that this is hard work, and it's probably going to bring you to your knees. And that's where Jesus wants you to get to, so that you can say, Jesus, I'm on my knees praying to you. Would you help me? Would you give me everything I need today by the power of your Spirit that I might look more like you by the time I go to bed? Would you give me everything I need today, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that I might display you to the people around me? Jesus, I want to bear this load. I don't want to excuse myself of it. I want to realize that it is not insignificant, and I need the help of the Spirit. Bearing our own load is a responsibility that each one of us has. Luke 12 is a really challenging passage of Scripture. I used it to cover generosity a few weeks ago. It's where Jesus encourages his people to be like servants watching the master's house when he's away. And he says to these servants, he says to us, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time enjoying the master's food and drink. Realize that you have a job to do. Be ready, because the master might return at any time. And at the end of that passage in Luke 12, it says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. We have been given much. Jesus poured out his life for us. We must pour out our life in response. Bearing our load looks like taking seriously our next steps in Christlikeness. It means at the end of each sermon we've heard over the last few weeks, stopping and inquiring of our heart and saying, am I reading the Word of God? Am I praying to Him? Am I humble? Am I generous? Am I committed to His people? Am I worshiping Him? And if we inquire of our hearts, we will each one say, well, I might be, but I'm not like Jesus yet. And so I want to change. I want to live differently. Holy Spirit, would you help me? That's what a humble load carrier looks like. I want to become more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you help me? And if we inquire of our hearts and the Scriptures enough, we'll realize that part of the load we must carry is to bear one another's burdens. There are times when things come our way in the Christian life that are in danger of overpowering us, of entangling us, of simply being something that we do not have the capacity to deal with. These are our burdens. They're too heavy. They're overwhelming. The things that we must be helped in and help others in. And Paul says if we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. There Paul's having a little dig at the people in Galatia who would say, well, how do we know who a follower of Jesus is if there's no law? And Jesus is saying, well, it's not about whether or not they're circumcised or whether or not they eat the right food. You want to see who fulfills the law of Christ? Look to who bears another's burden. Look to who supports their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a disciple. That's a follower. You want to be a disciple? You want to take your next steps? Then carry another's burden. Now, of course, there are plenty of reasons why we don't bear one another's burdens. First reason I'm going to give you this morning is because we don't want to push in on other people's lives. We're British, most of us, and we feel like we'd be being nosy or prying to get too involved with somebody else's circumstance. In order to combat that reason, let me remind you that in the early church, there was no need among them. That's what Acts 4 says. In order for there to have been no need among the early church, there must have been no need that was hidden among the early church. They must have known about each other. They must have known what burdens each other bared. They must have known enough to be able to support enough. So that's not a good enough reason to not involve ourselves in our brothers and sisters' lives. Another reason that we might give is because we live in an individualistic culture. A culture that says, well, do it on your own. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I don't need anyone else but myself. I know all that I need to know. In the book of Proverbs, it says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. It's a foolish attitude to say, I'll do it by myself, and they'll do it by themselves, and we'll all get by the way that UK culture tells us to get by. An altogether more spiritual reason that you might give not to involve yourself in the lives of your brothers and sisters is to say, well, I have Jesus. You could even quote scripture. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Of course he does. And Jesus said himself, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden. Of course. Now, that was you. And you were saying, I don't need to go to my brother and sister to support them or to receive support because I go to Jesus. He will bear my burden. God would say to you, yes, come to me. And to you, I will send the church. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, and he said this, we had no rest. We were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Paul was comforted in his burdens by another brother in Christ. Yes, Jesus will care for you. Yes, Jesus will give you peace. Yes, he will pour the love of God into your hearts. And at the same time, he will say, I've got others prepared to carry this burden with you. They're called the church. We could give the reason that we are introverted, that we are shy, that we simply prefer the company of ourselves. If that was you, and I completely empathize with that position. I don't really want to involve myself in other people's. I don't really want people knocking on my door. I'm shy. I'm introverted. I am that. I empathize with that position. But me and you, if we would say that to God, God would say, I've created you the way you are. Introverts are no more sinful or righteous than extroverts. The greatest person is not the life of the party. We don't all have to be surrounded by others all the time. But hear some of the earliest recorded words of God. It is not good for man to be alone. We may not need a sea of people, but we all need each other. Because at times we will have burdens. In the Christian life, we will have weights that we need help to carry. Jesus carried the weight of our sin. We must be like him in carrying others' weights as we can. This passage in Galatians gives us a specific way in which we can do that, and then some delightfully vague language which should cause us to see the scale of this command. The specific way we can carry another's burden is in the area of sin. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in sin. This is common biblical language. It talks about sin and the enemy as a prowling lion who catches us, who entangles us. Sin is dangerous. When it creeps into our life, it stops us from taking next steps. And we cannot overcome that sin alone. We need the grace of Christ in order to receive forgiveness, in order to be empowered to overcome it. And Paul shows us in Galatians, we need others to watch out for it in our lives, to warn us when they see it coming, to come to us and say, I love you. I think sin is crouching at your door. I love that phrase. It's a biblical phrase. It's from the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis. And Cain is angry because his gift, his sacrifice to God hasn't been received, but his brother Abel has. And so God comes alongside Cain in his anger and says to Cain, "Sin, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." Later in that story, Cain does not master his sin. He kills his brother. And God comes to him again and asks, "Where is Abel?" Cain says something very telling in that moment. He says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That little phrase is the reason behind every reason that we could give why we don't bear another's burden. I don't want to push in. I don't want to get too involved in somebody else's life. I don't want to seem to be nosy or prying. I mean, am I my brother's keeper? This is a dog-eat-dog world. They've got to do it themselves. They've got to build a spine, build some responsibility. I mean, am I my brother's keeper? I have Jesus, and they have Jesus too. Let them go to Jesus and cast all their anxieties on him. I mean, I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm introverted. I'm shy. I find interaction difficult and hard work. I don't want that person too involved in my life. I mean, come on, am I my brother's keeper? The reason behind every reason we give could easily be that. In the story of Cain and Abel and in the world of Galatians and the world in which we live, God is making it clear that the loud and resounding answer to Cain's sinful disobedience is the same loud and resounding answer to my own. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Yes. Yes. They have a pack to carry. They have loads that they can only bear themselves. But when the burden of sin weighs heavy on their shoulder, then yes, you must come alongside them to offer your support. They cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. You were made to be in community. If you want to walk next steps towards Christ-likeness, then we must walk together as a church. Sometimes we need to take the lead from God as he came alongside Cain. When we see sin crouching at our brother's or sister's door, we must say to them, "I love you. You're my brother, you're my sister, and I see something in your life, sin is crouching. It desires you, but you must master it. Let me help you. Let me keep you accountable. Let me talk to you. Let me carry a bit of that weight." Now, they have a load. They have a pack they must carry at that point. They need to repent. They need to turn around. Only they can do that. But you, as their brother and sister, can carry some of the excess weight that sin has brought to them, the mess that it has made in their life, the despair that it has caused them to feel. You can offer your support to help them through that. When sin catches, the church needs to act, to restore, to correct. We do it gently. We do it with grace. We do it as discreetly as possible, but we do it because otherwise we won't grow. That's the specific way that we can carry another's burdens. The final thing that I love about this passage is its delightful vagueness. I think the Bible is rarely vague, but when it is, it's deliberate. It's important to take note because usually it's because the writer isn't giving us the opportunity to make something smaller than it really is. So here Paul says, "Carry one another's burdens." We've already established that that's something that's too heavy for one. But what's that? Why doesn't Paul give us a list? We'd like a list, wouldn't we? I'd like a list of burdens and a list of loads. So I could say, oh, what's going on in that person's life? Oh, they've broken their toe. Is that a load or a burden? Should I help them or should I not? When does illness become a burden? When does circumstance become a burden? When does something move from an individual's responsibility to carry to the church's responsibility to co-carry? We'd like a list, but Paul doesn't give us one. That's not what we get. What we get is when you see a burden, go and help. And you say, well, that could mean anything. Exactly. This call is a call to extravagant support, like the extravagant, over-the-top love Christ showed you on the cross. That's the attitude that you take into this burden-carrying business. Do they need help with that thing, my brother and sister? Do they need me to build a friendship? Do they need me to go over and support them? Well, if you've noticed it, the answer is probably yes. I'm here to give you this encouragement today. Actively look for burdens in the church. And if you see one, do something about it. First thing, actively look. Be watchful when it comes to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Lift your head and think of those who are part of your local church family. Watch what's going on in their life. Who has a reason to be burdened at the moment? Who has a lot going on? Who could do with some help? Who haven't I seen for a while? Why might that be? Who haven't I encouraged, spoken to, blessed, caught up with for a while? How can I set that right? Don't spend your time here or at home assuming that everybody else doesn't need your help or doesn't want your support because they haven't asked for it. Because that person is sitting at home wondering how they could possibly receive the support when they don't want to ask for it. If we are a church with our eyes open, eager to see burdens that we can help with, eager to come alongside, watchful of those around us, then we will be ready to step in when needs be. The burdened won't have to spend a month in difficulty before they find a way to let it slip that they need help, because somebody would have caught it at the beginning. Because people were praying, people were looking, people were asking, how can I support my brothers and sisters? Now I know what's happening, because it's happening to me as I prepare this sermon. The 21st century boy is raising up in me and cringing a little and saying, oh, isn't that all a bit weird? Isn't that all a bit cultish? Can't we all just get by on our own? Do we really have to be the one on the lookout for those to help? Isn't it enough to say that I'm ready if somebody comes and asks? Well, I think that's enough by the standard of the UK culture that we live in. But the church isn't here to build a UK culture. The church is here to build a counterculture where people step into support before they are asked. No one asked Jesus to die on the cross for their sin. He loved us first. You say, but that kind of lifestyle, that kind of attitude, it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me my time. It's going to cost me my energy. Yeah, it is. Shall I go back to the cross thing? Or maybe we can work that one out ourselves. Remember, my encouragement to you is to actively look for burdens that you can carry. And if you think you see one, then you already have. So if you're being watchful and you see a situation somewhere where you think you can help, you think it's probably something that you should do, if there is enough about a situation within somebody's life that it gives you a second's worth, an inkling's worth of thought, maybe I should go and talk to that person. They don't seem to talk to anyone else. Maybe I should call that person and arrange to see them and build a friendship. Maybe I should visit that person in their care home or hospital or home where they seem isolated. Maybe I should offer to pray for that person. Maybe I should offer a meal for that person. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. If you get an inkling, a second's worth of thought around any of those areas, then I would say you have thought enough to say, I'll go. I'll go. I will go and do that thing. Yes, it will bear a cost for us, but that is our load. Our load that we must bear if we want to become like Jesus, who went to the cross, the ultimate cost for our sin. But I know what can happen again, because it happened to me as I prepared this sermon. The culture of the UK is rising up within me, and I'm thinking, but what if I ask that person if they want help? What if I go to that person and they don't respond well, or in fact they're offended because I asked them? What if that happens? I would much rather be part of a church culture where I ask too early if I can help and risk offending than ask too late and risk someone going through pain and suffering, bearing a weight that is too heavy for them. So in order to overcome that, overcome the awkwardness, overcome the difficulty, overcome the feeling that I want to ask that person, I want to get to know that person more, I want to bear a burden there, but I feel like they might be offended, I feel like they might be upset, I feel like they might think that I'm demeaning them. Let's agree that we're going to build a different culture here. Let's do something. Let's commit. Let's commit to build a different culture together. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to commit. Let's be good Americans. Let's put our hands on our hearts. Hands on hearts, people. We are going to commit to something together here. I know that I've gone over time already, but blame the Holy Spirit. He moved earlier. We're going to commit to something together. Repeat after me. If I'm asked, okay, we'll get louder as we go on. If I'm asked, if I need help, I will not be offended. Because that person is being like Jesus. And I think that's brilliant. You didn't sound like you did. I will accept help if I need it. If I don't, I'll thank them for the offer. I will be inspired by them. And I will find someone to help myself. You've said it now. Freedom brings these responsibilities. To joyfully carry without complaint and with determination the load that we have been given. And to look out for opportunities to carry burdens too heavy for others, recognizing that we need to grow. This sermon is a bridge into the second half of this series, how we look at being disciples together. From next week, we'll be encouraging everybody who calls Hope Church their home to grow discipleship relationships with people around them. To be intentional with 2, 3, or 4 others about becoming like Jesus, meeting regularly, praying for one another, having effective relationships like that in our lives. We'll outline what we believe those relationships should look like. And we'll encourage everyone to find them. And if you can't find them, come to us and we'll find them for you. My prayer is that we'll all look back on this series as something which started to rejuvenate or begin lifelong relationships where we are committed to carrying one another's burdens. We don't come to church for ourselves. We come to church for our brothers and sisters in Christ and to glorify God. My prayer is that today we have realized again the importance of community, the command to have our eyes open to one another, the command to carry one another's burdens. And my prayer is that we go from this place committed to one another's faith journey as much, in fact, more than we are committed to our own. Let's pray together.